excellent choice of a hymn to talk about unity in the body of Christ. And so thank you, Eric, for that. And so we continue our thinking about contentment. How do I learn it? It's learned. You're not born with it. When you come up out of the watery grave of baptism and dry off, you don't necessarily have it right then. It has to be learned, it has to be experienced, and it takes years of growth to learn to be contented in any and all circumstances. So how do we learn it? Well, we learn it because of our companionship. People in the body of Christ that are our brothers and sisters. Some play the role of mothers and fathers to us in the faith. And so they are helpful, and we help them in our quest to learn contentment. Because we learn our purpose, something to do. Taking the gospel of Jesus Christ to our neighbors and friends, to our family, because it's the truth. And then also because we want a destiny, some place to go that Jesus has provided by the resurrection from the dead. And he shows us conclusively that there is life after death. And so now we come to unity. Unity in the body of Christ, in the church, something to achieve. Let's begin. Unity, something to achieve. We're going to make several points from the text. First, be a colony of heaven. This is going to take a little explanation. Watch it. Then, make my joy complete. Third, be united. Fourth, be humble. Fifth, imitate the source. Imitate the source. So let's begin. Be a colony of heaven. Let's do our reading from Philippians 1, 27 through 28. Only conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or remain absent, I will hear of you that you are standing firm in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel, in no way alarmed by your opponents, which is a sign of destruction for them, but of salvation for you, and that too from God. And so be a colony of heaven. This concept may be strange to us. What is he talking about? Only conduct yourselves is the translation in the New American Standard Version. Conduct yourselves. But we have to also learn that in the American Standard Version, in the footnotes, literally, this word can be translated, live your lives as citizens in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. What is he talking about? What did the American Standard, in providing this literal translation, want to suggest to us and teach us? Well, the reason they did that is because there's a little verb in the Greek which has within its root meaning city or citizens. It's helpful for us to know that in the Roman Empire, as they conquered various peoples, nations and states, etc., and cities, one of their processes was to make little colonies of Rome all over the Roman Empire. It was their way to indoctrinate people to begin to hold together the Roman Empire. Philippi was such a colony. It was a little colony of Rome. It had a large amphitheater. It had other things that were like Rome. Also, citizenship was awarded to those who lived in these little colonies that represented Rome throughout the Roman Empire. One of the things that also helps us is to note this little, again, Greek verb, politeuo, literally translated, means live your lives as citizens. So, it's also used, the noun form is citizenship. Note, for our citizenship is in heaven, from which also we eagerly await for a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Here's the point. Is Paul telling us, and many scholars believe so, Philippi, you need to be a little colony of heaven. When people come into your midst, and when people come to experience what you have in the body of Christ, they need to get a little taste of heaven, what heaven's going to be like. And so you be sure that you are conducting yourself as a little citizen of heaven. I find that an intriguing concept. When outsiders come, when visitors come to be among us, we would want them to experience a little bit of heaven. Now, we're not perfect and we all know it. But folks, when we're striving to be like Christ, and Christ is our object, when Christ is our goal, when heaven is our goal of home, we're going to live in such a way that it's going to be a little bit, a little taste of heaven. I want to ask you this question. What's heaven going to be like? We know it's going to be beautiful. All the metaphors, we sang a song, you know, earlier about streets of gold and this, all these wonderful gems that create an image within us of beauty and of just great joy. But what is heaven going to be like? Let me suggest something to you. Look to your left. Go ahead. There you go. Look to your right. Now turn around and look behind you. Who do you see? The folks that are going to be in heaven. Christians. And if you're not a Christian, the Bible says you won't be there. Christians. Imperfect, sinful, but cleansed by the blood of Christ, and therefore they live their lives for Christ. If they overcome, they repent of sins, and they put those sins behind them. If they strive to live a model life of a citizen of heaven. And that's what we want people to see. Be a little colony of heaven, Paul tells the Philippians. And let people see what we're building, what Christ is building, because our citizenship is in heaven. Do you realize that Christ is not Republican or Democrat? He's not either of those. He's not a capitalist. He's not a socialist. He's not any of those. He's a Savior. He's a Savior. He's not an American. He's not an Asian. He's not, you know, he's not a particular race. He's the Savior. He's the Son of God. God in the flesh. That's how he's portrayed in scriptures. And he has a people that are devoted to him of every race, every gender. And by the way, there are only two. Just have to throw that in every chance we get nowadays. And those who love Christ, who could say, Christ, who is our life, he is my life. And so we want to go and to be with him. And so that whether I come and see you or remain absent, I will hear of you that you are what? Standing firm in one spirit with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. You be a little colony of heaven, getting the message out of who Christ is and what heaven's going to be like. And you stand firm. Note how he puts the next phrase with it. In no way alarmed by your opponents, which is a sign of destruction for them, but of salvation for you, and that too from God. What's his admonition? Little church in Philippi, little church in San Jose, little church in Sugarland, Texas, little church wherever you are, no matter how big you are or how small you are, stand firm and don't be afraid. Because you're a little colony of heaven. And I want people to see that. And therefore, begin to prepare them to want to come and be in heaven. And note, in no way alarmed by your opponents, which is a sign of destruction for them. Why? Because Christ is on our side. And will not be defeated by anyone, anything, anytime. There's no reason for us to be alarmed. The world seems like it's going to hell in a handbasket. But we are not afraid. That's what I came from Houston to remind you. Because I have to remind our folks the same. We're all dealing in more difficult times. So be it. That's the way they are. Christ is more than able to support us and to make us victorious. For to you, you little colony of heaven, there in Philippi, there on Miller Avenue, you little colony of heaven, it has been granted for Christ's sake, because of him and for him and to him, not only to believe in him, but also to do what? Yo, tell me, what does it say? Suffer for his sake. Whoa. Well, Lord, I don't believe I signed up for that. Well, you need to. We all need to. Put our life on the line for what we believe, for what we know is the truth. To suffer for his sake, because of him, not because we're a jerk, not because we're hateful or mean or any of those things, but when we suffer for the cause of Christ because people don't like it or don't understand it or afraid of it, whatever it is, it always turns out good in some way that Christ works. Experiencing the same conflict which you saw in me and now here to be in me. What is he telling them? Paul's in prison. He says, you're going to suffer some of the same things. And this is good. Because just as Christ is working through my circumstance, he's going to work through yours. In bringing about what Christ wants in his kingdom. So, this is speaking of the apostles in Acts 5, verse 41. They had been persecuted, you know. in Jerusalem by the Jews. So they went on their way from the presence of the council, the Sanhedrin, rejoicing that they had been considered worthy to suffer shame for his name. What does that suggest? Why would the devil bother about persecuting and causing anyone suffering that wasn't serving Christ? Let them go. They're already doing his work anyway. He persecutes or opposes those who are bothering him, who are taking people away from his dominion, from his kingdom, who are introducing people to the Christ. And so they counted it as a badge of honor to be persecuted for doing the right thing. Now be careful. There's no sense of pride or arrogance here. Just humility, humble recognition that this is the way the world is going to work. Remember, Christ promised his disciples, they persecuted me, they're going to persecute you. If you're like me, they're going to treat you the same way. So let's get geared up for the fight and knowing that Christ will be victorious. Continuing on, be a colony of heaven. Christ designed the local church to be a little colony of heaven. The church should be a place where contentment is learned and enjoyed. Christ has provided a means whereby his disciples can know now some of the joy of heaven. Note some, not all. There will be difficulties, as you well know. If the reason they're going to be difficult is because people let me be in the church. And sometimes I can be difficult. What about you? How can that be? How can we be this little colony of heaven? Well, by making our joy complete. Let's look at that. Therefore, if there is any encouragement in Christ, if there is any consolation of love, if there is any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and compassion, make my joy complete, Paul says. Now, reading it in such a way, we might conclude that what he's saying is, if there is any encouragement, and I don't know whether there is or not, or if there is any consolation of love, and maybe there's not, that isn't the way the Greek language should be understood in this translation. Note this by J.B. Phillips again. Now, if your experience of Christ's encouragement and love means anything to you, in other words, since there is encouragement in Christ and you know it and you've experienced it, and since you there is fellowship of the Spirit, and since there is kindness and deep sympathy, live up to it. You've experienced it. Show other people. You know, one of the most powerful witnesses for people outside of Christ is to tell them how good Christ has been to you. Your story. One of the joys of my life is just traveling and asking people, how did you learn of the gospel? How did you learn about Christ? And what does he mean to you now? And so, make my joy complete. Since there is and you have experienced encouragement in Christ, have you? I know you have. Consolation of love. I know you have. Fellowship of the Spirit. I know you have. Affection and compassion in the body of Christ, in the church. Then, how can we do that? How can we, on the basis of what we've experienced within this little colony of heaven, how does that fuel us to go out and to reach others? Well, by being united, No. Make my joy complete by being of the same mind, maintaining the same love, united in spirit, intent on one purpose. Same mind. He's not saying that we're all going to think exactly alike. But he is going to say we all have the same mindset, perspective on Christ, the Savior, and upon the Scriptures, truth. The same mindset. Further, the same love. To love God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love our neighbor as ourself. We all ascribe to that. We all believe that. We're all striving to do that. Further, united in spirit. We're united because we share a common spirit. And then, intent on one purpose. Why? What's our purpose? To take the gospel, the good news to the world, for everybody to come and have the option and the information to also know of Christ, of Jesus. How can we do that? Look at the next verse, being humble. Do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, regard one another as more important than yourselves. Do not merely look out for your own personal interest, but also for the interest of others. I ask you, especially those of you who have been in the body of Christ and the Church of Christ for a long time, would that attitude absolutely cure and prevent almost every difficulty you've ever seen in the body of Christ? Everybody looking out for everybody else. Everybody loving others more than they are devoted to themselves. Thinking about how this affects other people and willing to forgo even liberties that we have in Christ for the benefit of someone else. Humility, humbleness. Do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also for the interests of others. That's how that's accomplished. But we ask, how can we do that? How can we have that selfless spirit, that selfless action of looking out for others and putting others before ourselves? The last point, imitate the source. Imitate Christ. Have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus, who though he existed in the form of God and did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped or held on to, but emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant, and being made in the likeness of men, being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Remember the Hebrews 5 passage the other night? Look at the highlighted, Christ. He learned obedience from the things which he suffered. And having been made perfect through that obedience, likely encompassing but not exclusively the Garden of Gethsemane, his whole life, he became to all those who obey him the source of eternal salvation. I'm not ready. Let's go back to this. Have this attitude in yourself, which was also in Christ Jesus. What did Jesus give up when he left heaven to come to earth? Did he give up his deity? No. He was still God. Then what did he give up? Says he emptied himself. Of what? I would suggest his prerogatives, his privileges of deity. He was not hailed as God coming into the world. Look at his birth in a cave. Went to Nazareth. Everybody didn't walk around and say, oh, there you see the little son of God there, all that. There's none of that. He didn't even exercise his power to protect himself from suffering and punishment and the cross. He willingly yielded to that persecution, to that horror. That's power. That's how I think he yielded his privileges and his prerogatives, still had the power, demonstrated it on several occasions, stilled the storm, walked on the sea, healed the blind, raised the dead, raised himself from the dead. We're going to talk about that tomorrow. Still God. But looked after everybody else but himself. So let's just imitate the source. Remember, he's the first. Let us look to him for our example and for our model. And so, closing thought. For this reason also, God highly exalted him. Because he was willing to do this, God highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name which is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow of those who are in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and that every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. He's the boss. To the glory of God the Father. Everybody will come to recognize him for what he did and who he is. If not in this lifetime, in the next. We have his word on it. And so I ask you, would you do it now in this life? Would you acknowledge him as your Lord? Will you accept him as your Savior from sin? Do you understand that he has commanded all to repent? That means to change their mind to such a depth and degree that we change our lives. That he has commanded that we confess him as Lord. The one that we will follow. And we will obey his command to be baptized for the forgiveness of our sins. And raised to walk in a new life, ready to be a little colony of heaven and headed for him in heaven. If you're a subject to the gospel, please come. Let's stand and let us sing.